The impeachment trial of President Trump begins in the Senate, and an associate of Rudy Giuliani, Lev Parnas, is speaking out about an issue at the center of the matter, whether President Trump withheld aid to Ukraine for his own political benefit. We'll have the details. Plus, a Wall Street Journal exclusive. We report that Amazon set a goal to secure $1 billion in incentives as it was searching for a home for its second headquarters in 2017.
The question that really rises to the surface when a company like Amazon asks for something like this is, should a company that is so profitable and so large be essentially exempt from having to pay the same taxes that other companies have to pay in a specific location?
It's Thursday, January 16th. This is the PM edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. The impeachment trial of President Trump began in the Senate today with a reading of the charges against him, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Chief Justice John Roberts, who will preside over the trial, swore in senators this afternoon.
Do you solemnly swear that in all things appertaining to the trial of the impeachment of Donald John Trump, President of the United States, now pending, you will do impartial justice according to the Constitution and laws, so help you God?
Today's proceedings were largely ceremonial. The trial will begin in earnest on Tuesday after the holiday weekend. It's only the third presidential impeachment trial in U.S. history. Meanwhile, a congressional watchdog says the president did not have the legal authority to withhold millions of dollars in aid to Ukraine, saying the Office of Management and Budget improperly froze it for policy reasons. Democrats charge that the president withheld aid as part of an effort to get Ukraine to open investigations that would benefit him politically. The president and members of the administration have said the hold was in place because of concerns about corruption in Ukraine and questions about how much money other countries were contributing. The Senate has approved a rewrite of the North American Free Trade Agreement. The new U.S.-Mexico-Canada deal, known as USMCA, was approved in a vote of 89 to 10. The three countries first signed the deal in 2018, but House Speaker Nancy Pelosi threatened to block its passage without stronger language to ensure Mexican factories abide by new labor provisions. The House approved the legislation last month. Senate approval comes a day after the U.S. and China signed phase one of their trade accord. Alphabet has become the fourth U.S. company ever to reach $1 trillion in market value. Alphabet joins Apple, Amazon, and Microsoft in reaching the milestone. Apple got there first, followed by Amazon in the summer of 2018. Microsoft hit the mark in April of last year. As the impeachment trial begins in the Senate, there's been a lot of news this week about Ukraine. One of the threads, Lev Parnas, an associate of Rudy Giuliani, is speaking out this week. Among other claims, he says he pressed for investigations in Ukraine that would benefit President Trump. And Ukraine has announced an investigation into whether former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine Marie Yovanovitch was being surveilled. Joining me now to break all of this down is Wall Street Journal reporter Shelby Holliday. Shelby, we're hearing a lot more from one of the central figures here, and that is Lev Parnas. He's an associate of Rudy Giuliani's, and he's been making the media rounds this week telling his side of the story. What new information did we hear from him?
Well, he's not only talking, he actually handed over documents to the House Intelligence Committee. So some of what he is saying is corroborated by text messages and letters and evidence that he's providing. But what he is doing is he is out there essentially playing into Democrats' hands, corroborating what Democrats have accused the president of, and that is coercing the Ukrainian government into announcing an investigation into Joe Biden, President Trump's Democratic rival. So he's out there saying publicly the president is a liar, that President Trump knew exactly what was going on with respect to his actions and Rudy Giuliani's actions. He has been saying that he's with Rudy Giuliani 4 or 5 days out of the week, and he would overhear phone conversations between Giuliani and President Trump. And some of that's even backed up by photos that the Wall Street Journal has published, because we do know that Rudy Giuliani and Lev Parnas spent quite a bit of time together and were with each other at very important events throughout the past year. What he's also doing is accusing other administration officials of being in the loop. So far, some of those claims have not been corroborated, but he's implicating, for example, Vice President Mike Pence, Attorney General William Barr. Those two have pushed back on what Parnas is saying. And remember, Parnas's credibility is being called into question because he's somebody who is indicted in the Southern District of New York, and he's also accused of lying to authorities with respect to that matter.
Shelby, what are we hearing from the Trump administration in response to what Parnas is saying?
Well, from back in the fall when Parnas was arrested, President Trump said he didn't even know Lev Parnas. He said, I don't know these men. I don't know what they're doing. So the White House, not surprisingly, is still maintaining their distance and saying Lev Parnas isn't credible. What he's saying isn't true. But Kellyanne Conway was pressed pretty hard on a Fox News show about whether or not Parnas is lying, and she didn't give a flat-out no.
Let's pick up another piece of this. Ukraine has said it's now looking into whether the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, was under surveillance prior to being removed from her job. Just a reminder, Yovanovitch testified during the House impeachment inquiry that she was the target of a smear campaign. Shelby, what can you tell us about Ukraine's investigation here?
So in the documents Lev Parnas handed over to Congress were these text messages. Many people said they're very troubling. They come from Robert Hyde. He's a Republican congressional candidate who was texting and in touch with Parnas. And some of the things he was saying alluded to the fact that there was this surveillance team in Ukraine following and tracking Yovanovitch's movements. And his text messages said things like, if you want her out, they need to make contact with security forces. Obviously, this raised a lot of eyebrows. Not only did Ukraine launch an investigation, but also the FBI visited Hyde's home and office, according to a person familiar with the matter. Now, Lev Parnas is saying that he never took Hyde seriously. He didn't really engage with him with respect to these messages. But clearly, authorities are taking it seriously in the fact that they're looking at his home, looking at his office, and launching an investigation in Ukraine.
So a couple of threads here to pull on. And as the impeachment trial begins in the Senate, how might these various threads that we've just discussed play into the trial?
The trial is starting to take shape, and senators will be voting on whether or not they should hear witnesses. So we're not sure whether or not Parnas would be a witness. Some people say he's not credible. He shouldn't be up there. But now other Democrats are saying, well, together with the documents he handed over, we should hear from him. Another thing Parnas has been saying that's very interesting is that John Bolton has a lot to say. Ambassador Bolton was the national security advisor, and he has said he's willing to testify. Democrats want him to testify. It's just a matter of whether or not a few Republicans will vote to hear from him. But I think Lev Parnas's recent statements will actually bolster the case that John Bolton should be a witness. And we have new documents. We're not sure if the Senate will take those into consideration, but there's a lot up in the air, and there's a lot that they have to decide.
Wall Street Journal reporter Shelby Holliday joining me here in our studio in New York. Thank you so much, Shelby.
Thank you.
Now a Wall Street Journal exclusive. We report that Amazon set a goal to secure $1 billion in incentives for other real estate projects as it began the search for its second headquarters in 2017. Joining me now with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Shandy Race. Shandy, Amazon was already seeking economic incentives from areas that were under consideration to house its second headquarters. How did this $1 billion goal fit in? Was it separate?
So this was separate from the HQ2 search. This was an S-team level goal. And the S-team is a group of the most senior executives at Amazon, including the CEO, Jeff Bezos. They have a list of goals every year that they deliver to the different parts of the company. And S-team level goals, as they are known, are the highest priority goals, the highest company-wide priority goals. And so what we discovered was that since at least 2015, the company had setting a number for how much money they wanted to receive from state and local governments in exchange for their investments, essentially a number for how much they wanted in economic incentives. And since at least 2015, this usually amounted to several hundred million dollars, but in 2017, it hit $1 billion. Because the company was investing so much in expansion.
Shandy, what ultimately happened with that separate $1 billion goal?
So at some point in 2018, they decided to actually nix the entire goal. What was explained to me was that they were not able to meet it in 2017. And they also decided that they wanted to focus less on the specific tax breaks and more on other types of incentives that aren't as easy to put a number on. So, you know, transportation or infrastructure related incentives, you know, how much can you claim for adding a new bus stop that will help your employees get to work, things like that. So ultimately, the target was killed. It doesn't exist now as an S-team level goal. However, managers do have economic incentive targets that they need to reach, but it's no longer this highest priority level goal.
Let's talk about the search for Amazon's second headquarters. The company ultimately decided to split between Virginia and New York, but then backed off plans to build here in New York, in large part due to a huge public backlash over the amount of incentives that it was set to receive. It was about $3 billion, right?
Correct. I think that there was, from the second that Amazon launched this public search for a second headquarters, there was a really big public outcry because in their request for proposals from states and cities, they put pretty clearly in there that they were going to take into consideration financial incentives when they made this decision. And that kind of brought to the fore a discussion that had sort of been bubbling below the surface, but maybe hadn't been as clear cut until Amazon kind of said it just straight out, which is that large corporations, when they expand, they expect that the states and local governments where they go are going to give them all sorts of breaks, primarily tax breaks, but it can also come in the form of, you know, infrastructure investment, job training, cash grants. They're all different types of economic incentives. But the question that really rises to the surface when a company like Amazon asks for something like this is, should a company that is so profitable and so large be essentially exempt from having to pay the same taxes that other companies have to pay in a specific location?
What is Amazon saying about all this?
Well, what they have said is that they are seeking incentives in the same way that every other company seeks incentives. Most states and local governments that offer incentives have statutory programs. So it's written into the law that if you invest X amount, you will receive X amount. And so they say that all they're doing by seeking economic incentives is looking for the same benefits that all their competitors who do the same thing are, you know, able to receive.
Wall Street Journal reporter Shandy Race, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.